So what about yourself? What kind of impact has Freddie Mercury and Queen had on yourself? I mean, do you sort of still remember the first time you heard Freddie Mercury sing?
Of course, yeah. It was a really unique sound, and it had so much power to it. And he was incredibly engaging. I think I saw him on Countdown back in the day. I remember hearing Crazy Little Thing Called Love. It was the first track I really heard. And because I was a bit of an Elvis fan under the carpet, I could hear Freddie being able to impart some of the sort of aspects of modeling Elvis within it, you know, lower in his register and all this sort of rockabilly styling. So I thought, whoa, I thought, well, great, he just sounds like Elvis, he's cool. But then I really got to know Freddie through Queen's music and realized how much of a master of the art he was.
Well, indeed. Firstly, on that aspect of his incredible vocal talents and musical ability, I mean, who else even compares, do you think, in kind of a modern context?
Oh, I mean, you know, you mentioned Lambert, of course. I guess Beyonce, you know,
yeah.
Big range, can cross genres, you know, very agile voice, highly expressive. Pink, you know, I mean, there's a range of people. I guess everyone's influenced by everybody. There's this lovely domino effect that happens in the music industry or any of the art forms. And so when you've got someone like Freddie who sets the bar vocally really high, like he's technically so masterful, he's got this powerful but agile voice. He has three octaves or more, and he uses that. He's got that signature sort of really fast vibrato, which initially, Sean, I didn't even actually really like it. But then as he would, you know, morph into song to song, I'd hear more of the control. And I also started hearing that he was a really versatile singer when he would genre cross. And there was a song in the 1980s called Living on My Own. And he just employs this kind of scat singing. At the time I was studying jazz. And so I thought, I can hear Ella Fitzgerald in that. I can hear a bit of Duke Ellington. So I thought, this guy's really, really clever. And that's without talking about his songwriting.
Now, the way he also held himself, I guess, I mean, the face that he showed out to the world, I mean, he was a bisexual man. He made no bones about that. He sort of had no shame about the way he presented himself to the world. And I mean, one of the iconic ones that always stands out for me is the cross-dressing in the clip for I Want to Break Free. I mean, it's so bold. I mean, it's funny, but it's also just such an incredibly bold statement, the way he holds himself within the clip itself. The way he presented himself, I mean, what kind of impact do you think that's had on the perception of music, the perception of music that he inspired, the perception of, indeed, well, bisexual gay men over the last 30 years?
Yeah, I mean, an icon, clearly, you know, clearly an icon for many, many. And I was remembering seeing the Life magazine at the time in the 80s and the ads for, you know, the ads that were the sort of campaign ad for the Grim Reaper that came on. And I was thinking there was this face of Freddie Mercury when he finally came out that kind of gave hope, you know, and held this position. On stage, he was formidable, as everyone knows, and the audiences were absolutely drawn to that witty satire. He's incredibly intelligent. In interviews you hear, you know, his intelligence shine through. But more than that, he kind of, I think he expressed a fearlessness of the glam rock thing was certainly something that influenced him, if I think of Pink Floyd. And if you read about Freddie, what you really realise is that he followed Hendrix really closely in terms of his career. In fact, there's a recalling where I think he had tried to attend 15 of his concerts in a succession. And what he was looking at was, you know, Hendrix was like that, feathers, spandex, leathers, you know, really an art form in terms of his style, you know, on stage, his stagecraft and his style. I think what Freddie represented was that the lid was off in terms of choice of how you presented yourself. He certainly, for a whole range of certainly for the bisexual community, LGBTQ, he's still to this day supports and represents fearlessness and individualism. You know, he was amazing.
And the way his legacy is kind of being honoured. I mean, you mentioned, of course, Adam Lambert still sort of touring with the band itself. You know, still touring with Queen. And there was the film that I mentioned back in 2018, Bohemian Rhapsody. The way he's still being immortalised in those contexts. Do you think it does honour his legacy, or is it something that perhaps should be left more alone? I guess.
Oh well. I mean, if he was here, he'd be digging the royalties. That's the very first thing. So let's just say that for all musicians, that, you know, that's one aspect of it. Look, I think his compositions are still really part of our lives because we're hearing them with the next generation. I think Somebody to Love was in Happy Feet in 26 and Ella Enchanted. So this next group of, they don't know who Freddie is, but they're hearing his music. They don't have the video or the image of him, they just are going on the sound and the songs. And that's what's underestimated in Freddie, you know, that most people focus on, you know, the stagecraft and all that sort of stuff. But he was a great composer. Mm. He really drew on a whole range of genres, and his songs were full of, you know, those memorable melodies that were, you know, he says he was drawing influences from Hendrix and Floyd and the Everly Brothers and the Beach Boys, etc. But his own compositions break free of a whole range of those things, especially in 75 with Bohemian Rhapsody, because the reason that song, everybody knows it today, and We Will Rock You, crowds still to this day, you know, Pink's performing it or Katy Perry performs these songs, is because Mercury took that cross genre to another level and just had this unrivaled kind of idea about lavish production and, you know, music production, creating the song, layering the vocals. And he crossed that kind of classical rock thing with ease, you know. I think he told an interviewer that he saw Bohemian Rhapsody as mock opera in a way. Certainly if you listen to the lyrics, it's all of those things linked to his past as a Zoroastrian, but also he's moving from moving to England at age, you know, in his teens, all of those things are embedded within his music. But mainly, I think it's great that his music is still vivid today and next generations are, in, you know, getting a taste of it.
Fabulous. Well, no, it is a hell of a legacy. It is really fantastic to talk about. Lee, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time on this morning.
Oh, happy to talk about Freddie anytime. Thanks, Sean.